Hey now, welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with your host, yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. Woo! What a snazzy intro that was. Anyway, I had a really good time in the last episode talking about evolution. So I figured I'd continue that dialogue because it was so enthralling and engaging, full of conundrums, word of the day. I had to throw that in right at the very beginning. But in any event, I really did enjoy talking about that subject. That was that kind of led me down an interesting road. What do you guys think about that? Anyone listen to that one? It's called Evolution. And it ended up being more about the evolution of human beings and our evolution into some kind of matrixy kind of thingy. But I thought it had some, shockingly or surprisingly or humorously, it had some interesting realism to it. I mean, that's a real scenario that, I mean, it seems so rudimentary that I'm surprised that it's not actually being done right now. But anyway, before I get into that, how about some updates? So I've been working outside of the house for the last 2 days. Wow, that's crazy. Driving to work, driving home, working in an office. I have my own office. It's really nice. So that's kind of cool. I'm just kind of getting settled, all settled into the new office space. Kind of did a walk around the plaza today. So that was kind of fun. It was nice out. It was raining on the way in though, treacherously, like downpouring, it was like difficult to see kind of rain. But outside of that, it hasn't been so bad, not too bad. My daughter had a little bit of a fender bender the other day, so that was kind of a back-to-back. So my car's being fixed. She was driving my wife's car. And to be clear, I bonked my own car. It wasn't anybody else. And then my daughter, while parking, also bonked someone. So I'm going to drop $1,000 here pretty soon on my deductibles for 2 repairs to vehicles. Nothing major. No one was hurt. So that's the important thing, right? That's all that really matters. But yeah, it's been a little bit of a juxtaposition to some degree with regard to cars and picking people up and dropping people off. And my youngest daughter started back to high school this week. So it's been quite an eventful week for us. But I'm feeling pretty good about my new job so far. I think it's pretty cool. Like I said, getting settled, meeting people. Found out that one of the other members of the leadership team who's based in Texas is going to be out in a couple of weeks to meet everybody. And that's cool. So that'll be fun. Probably go out for dinner, do some lunch, maybe do a team building thing. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, let's get into this evolution thing, shall we? And what I think human beings are destined to evolve into. So as we talked last, just a refresher, I was talking about, I think I started this whole conversation based on, like autonomous vehicles and drones and things like that, whereby my example was the garbage collector or the sanitation worker being replaced fully by an automatically driving vehicle that has an automation program running on it that then would be able to just operate all of the machinery to to dispose of the garbage and or collect the recyclables, and they sort of do that now. They just have a human being operator. So I'm thinking that a lot of the jobs that we have that are automatable will very soon, potentially in my lifetime, become reality, and we'll see those types of things automated away, and we'll have robots driving around. And then I had mentioned something about Elon Musk and these androids that he's creating, or these cybernetic organisms or something like that that he's been working on, that look very much like people and will have, I guess, the new chip that they're working on, that they've been working on for the Tesla or on the Tesla, put in there. And then those guys will end up being the crew that goes out to Mars to terraform. And then that led me to, well, if we're going to do this, why would we want to move civilization and remain biological when the terrestrial aspect or the biological aspect of human beings is the finite piece? That's the piece that, you grow old and you die and you deteriorate. So if we were able to transfer our consciousness into something else, Now, I've read up a little bit on this since I made this, because I'm like, this has to be out there. There's no way that people aren't working on this, right? And it's a little disappointing because it's not, and I'm a little ashamed because I should have known this based on the current technology that we have today. This isn't a transference of consciousness. It's a replication. It's a copy. So just like with a database, you'd replicate your data from a master to a secondary or to a failover. But it's a copy. It's not theoretically, it's the exact same thing. But one doesn't destroy the other or take the place of the other. How do I explain this? Physically? Yeah, it does physically. So that's not the right answer. So when databases replicate, they copy data from one database to other databases, to replicas, right? From the master to the replica. So if we're the master in this scenario, we would be creating replicas. The problem is you don't have a singularity. You don't have one, so that the master doesn't become the replica, or the replica doesn't become the master. It assumes the role. So in effect, there's N plus one. There's more than one. So it's a copy, albeit an exact copy, up to the time of the initiation of the copy process, right? Because then anything while it's copying has to be frozen. So you'd lose that period of time. So let's say it took an hour to replicate a human brain. You're going to lose that hour. It's not going to exist. I don't know that that would matter. You'd be in some kind of surgery kind of state where you're like under anesthesia or something like that, I would guess. But the problem is you're going to still wake up in your human body. You're just going to have a replicated version of you in a cybernetic body, or in a cyborg body, potentially, or just on the grid somewhere on the internet, in some kind of, some kind of manifestation of what you would be, representation in the digital realm. And I think that therein lies the transfer of consciousness that doesn't actually take place under that method of transference, right? You're not actually leaving your body. They're just taking a copy of every neural pathway and connection. And then, yeah, see, it starts to get really way beyond me at this point, how something like that might work. And I think that the reality is we certainly don't have the technology yet to do that. And we don't understand the tangibility of what consciousness is, because it's an intangible, right? It's just the firing of impulses in your brain and neurons and things like that in the neural net that you have. So even if we were to create a brain, let's say we grew a brain from your DNA using CRISPR or something like that, it would still not be you in the sense of awareness. So that part of it is the conundrum, word of the day. Once again, another time I can use the word of the day. That's a conundrum for me, in that how you would get from the physical consciousness that's in my physical biological body to now that same consciousness, not a copy or a replica of that same consciousness being transferred into a synthetic brain or even a cloned brain. Right. Let's say in my example, I'd want to clone my whole body. You could reclone yourself at 25, good year, and have everything be all genetically perfect, but it still would be you. And then now we're kind of stuck with, and this is, it's ironically and funny enough, this is kind of some things that have happened on Family Guy, where Brian and Stewie did this with their time machine, where they kept going back and forth into the same point in time, like moments earlier, and they had dozens and dozens and dozens of instantiations of themselves in this universe, in this single point in time, and they wiped out everybody but the last two. And it was like, well, which consciousness was the last two? What happened to all the rest? So it's kind of a, would you, this is the confusing part for me. Would you understand that or not? Would you comprehend that? Would you experience that? Who knows? That would be a real, real weird scenario there, right? I mean, that would be, I don't know what that would be. I don't think anyone knows what that would be. So I guess my plan is flawed, or my thought is flawed, until we come up with a way to actually do this in a manner that's consistent with the transference of consciousness, not the replication of consciousness. But I'm still not a big fan of going and terraforming Mars, because we still haven't solved the problem of living forever. Right? I would, even if we were, like I said before, if, even if we were to do that, it takes 60 to 70 years with the current technology of propulsion that we have to get to Mars. So what good does that do me? None, right? That doesn't sustain my life. That doesn't prolong my life. That puts me on a spaceship until I'm dead. And I, you know, I started thinking about that more. I'm like, okay, so if we were to do that, even if we were to use cybernetic organisms to make the trip and do the terraforming and build everything on Mars, again, unless we've come up with a new way of propulsion, a new system of propulsion that would get us there faster as a human being, we would have to bring, I guess, sperm and eggs, you know, to, you know, in a cryogenic, you know, how you do in a donor situation where you freeze your eggs and you freeze your sperm, and then they do an artificial insemination kind of thing. So you'd have to, wow, that would be, it would be really difficult. That time duration, that time lapse is a real, another conundrum. That's a real problem too, because it would still take 60 to 70 years to get there. And that's no longer a viable host for artificial insemination. It's not going to work. Right? You're too old. You can't have a baby when you're 60 or 70. A woman can't carry that. So it would have to all be done Petri dish style. So potentially we'd be able to do that in a lab, but we'd have to grow that generation of human beings artificially in every way, other than the fact that we're combining sperm and an egg. But you would think that at that point, if that was the case, why wouldn't we just, I don't know. I think the cloning thing is going to come back to us on this journey into the, Never Neverland kind of thing, into the Matrix. I still find this an interesting topic, though, because you know the more I think about this, the more I wonder if we would bastardize this whole thing too. I mean, because what, you know, this whole thing started with the conversation of, you know, how much is enough? Like, what do the people that rule this world and have all the money and the power, what else do they, what do they need? Why are we trying to diminish the population and get rid of people and control people in a different way? I mean, what is the end game here? I don't know that, so I can't really speak to that, I guess, in any meaningful way, because I don't know the answer to that. I'm not in that group of people that talks about things like that. But I can only imagine that even if we had a simulated world that we all just were assimilated into, like the Matrix, there would still be the same constraints and power struggle and all the, and that's such a shame. And I wonder how we're going to reach that point of evolution as a human species, if we even are, where we don't concern ourselves with overtaking and besting someone else, and we're more concerned with our own human experience and achieving milestones that are very personal and have nothing to do with accumulating wealth or material possession or power or control or anything like that. Like, for example, I love to play the flugelhorn. It would be great if I had 100 years to become the greatest flugelhorn player that I could be and enjoy each and every day of practice and work on that and create music and just, you know, that would be great. Some people like fishing. Some people like hunting. Some people like being a doctor. You know, I think that in a simulation like this, the way I'm envisioning it or imagining it, literally anything that we know is possible. And I would then argue further that things that we don't know that are possible would become possible, because the mechanism by which all of this would be run would be AI. And AI would continually augment and enhance itself at exponential rates. And eventually it would reach new levels of consciousness and awareness, and technology would evolve and advance and everything would move forward. But I don't see it happening biologically, simply because we're so fragile in our state, which is, it's almost like a sick joke, right? So you're given this gift of self-awareness and ego and personality and emotion and all the things that make a human being. And then you're put into this meat sack that basically every day after about what, like 20, 25, maybe something like that, starts to die. I don't know what the exact age, you know, that your body starts to stops growing and starts deteriorating, but there is a point clearly where that happens. So whatever that point is, that's the, you know, from that point forward, you're basically dying the whole time. And, you know, while that's a great experience, the fact that of the matter is that time is running out and we're so heavily influenced, excuse me, by the fact that we have a limited amount of time to accomplish things and get things done, that we often, and or I would argue most often, don't take the time to really be able to enjoy the gift of life because we're too busy in society trying to sustain life. Because there are requirements to being in society. I mean, I guess if you're homeless, there aren't any, but you know, there's a sacrifice that's made to become homeless, if that's a conscious choice that someone were to make, where you'd want to get off the grid and give everything up, but you still have to spend time doing things to sustain yourself and survive. Still have to eat food, drink water, you know, all those kinds of things. And arguably, if you're unhealthy and you're not well kept, then you're going to have a shorter lifespan. So are you really gaining more by giving it all up? Because instead of living to be 70, you're going to live to be 50. So maybe you've sacrificed 20 years, but are your 20 years that you sacrificed made up for by the time that you spent from 20 to 50, where someone that spent the time from 20 to 70, you know, I mean, is it a better experience that it's longer? Arguably yes, arguably no. Depends on how you use that time, I guess. But if you keep hearing me say the word time, that's the conundrum. Wow, I'm saying the word of the day quite a bit today. Conundrum. Is that we keep running out of time. So no matter what choice you make, you always have the issue of time and how you spend it. And now you could argue that all of the things that you do each and every day, spending your time, make you who you are as a person. And without the expenditure of that time, you wouldn't become the person that you are each and every day. But I don't know. I've reached a point in my life where I would rather choose to spend the time doing something I want to do rather than things I have to do. And perhaps that's incredibly selfish, arrogant. I don't know. But I would absolutely at this point in my life, if I were financially stable or financially, you know, set, taken care of, I didn't have to work anymore, and I could maintain the same lifestyle that I have right now, or even arguably less, a lesser lifestyle, but I got to spend all my time doing the things that I wanted to do. Now, of course, that would have to be constrained by things that cost money, and, you know, there would be compromise and sacrifice, of course, because you're limited by the means that you have at your disposal. But to that end, I would, in a heartbeat, give up everything else to just spend time with my family and doing the things that I love to do all the time. You know, the other interesting thing that I thought about that would be interesting about the transfer of consciousness is that I hadn't given much thought to this until right now, but would you need to sleep? So would you effectively double the amount of conscious experience you would have, or would your mind still need to go into some kind of sleep mode even in a transference of consciousness into some ethereal network or something like that? I wonder, because I know if you're sleep deprived, it definitely affects your brain, but I don't know if that's a physical manifestation that affects that, or if that's a psychological thing where your brain has to rest or you go bananas. But if your brain is no longer biological and your body doesn't get tired and nothing gets tired, would that be necessary? Because that's my assumption, right? Our bodies fatigue after a certain period of being conscious. So you go to sleep to rest so that your brain can function again properly when you wake. But if your body never fatigued, then would your brain ever have to rest? And if so, or if not, think of now you've just doubled, even if you look at a span of time, like let's say this system was governed by it cost $100,000 for every 10 years more of existence on this grid, because of course everything's going to cost something, right? Doubtful we'll enter into something like this under the guise of, oh, it's all free. Yeah, no, it isn't. I mean, that's ridiculous that it isn't, but it should be, because once AI takes over, wouldn't it be able to self-sustain? And there wouldn't be a cost to that, because AI does not function under the guise of, or the requirement of, financial transactions and material transaction. It just needs an energy source or a power source. So once that's been achieved, there's no longer a need for any kind of monetary exchange, or even the concept of that becomes unnecessary and meaningless. And that, in effect, would be true for us as well, if not for the fact that we were biological and had an expiration date on ourselves, right? And no one really knows when that is. And I guess you could get to a point where you'd be able to, I also thought about this too, because, you know, the whole religious piece was a conundrum for me as well. And now I'm overusing the word of the day, but so what? So you'd be able to choose when you wanted to end your existence, which is, I don't know, is that better? I guess from a religious standpoint, you would still remain within the good graces of the Lord, perhaps, or your God, or whatever it is that you believe in, in that you could, you know, just let yourself expire, or you run out of time anyway. But I have a hard time believing we wouldn't be paying for this somehow, at least at the onset. Like I said, it would be at the beginning, you know, the whole thing would be a pay as you go, or pay to go kind of scenario. But then I believe as the system itself enhanced and augmented and evolved, it would no longer recognize currency or financial backing or requirement from the real world. I don't know. I'm not sure how this would end up. I mean, would we just be ethereal bodies floating around? I mean, for all I know, that's what happens after you die. Is your consciousness leaves this realm or this plane of existence and goes on to something else. So maybe we're already doing that biologically. Our consciousness is in existence here in our bodies. And then when you pass away, it goes on to the next plane of existence. And then you go from there. I don't know. I think it's interesting. And I guess the crux of time itself is the problem, at least for me. Even though I sit here potentially wasting my time doing this, I feel like this is a good use of my time. I enjoy it. I mean, this particular episode and the last are not really helpful to me as a person in terms of, you know, being bipolar and having depression and anxiety and things like that, because I'm not talking about that. But I guess every waking moment can't be a productive, perfect moment, right? I mean, at some point you're going to waste time. I think we do a lot of that. At least I do. And that's my big, I guess, debate with, you know, taking a job where I'm not home. Things like this that I was able to do from home, you know, now it's late at night and I have to do these things when I'm tired and want to go to sleep. And again, the argument is, well, Garrett, you don't have to do this. You're right, I don't. I don't have to do this at all. And the numbers don't lie. I mean, it's not like I'm looking at millions and millions of followers or something. So I'm fairly certain that if I stopped doing this, nobody would really give a shit. It wouldn't make much difference. You know, I mean, to the few hundred people maybe that follow this, I don't know, I've had 2,400 plays, something like that. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. I just don't think that that's a sustaining thing or a compelling thing to tell you to keep on going, because, you know, I mean, I don't know. If no one's paying attention, it's that, you know, if that tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it thing? If I'm doing a podcast, just like my music, you know, all the songs that I put out, I've got almost 170 songs under Garrett Michael Conklin on out there in the streaming land. And, you know, if nobody listens to the music, then does it really matter that it even exists? I feel like we have an awful lot of noise out there. Yeah, and I'm calling my music noise because, I mean, if nobody's listening to it and getting anything from it and getting, you know, feeling emotional or moved or enjoying it, then what really is the point of doing it? Sorry, I have a cough drop. You know what I mean, though? I mean, because for me, yeah, I enjoy listening to the songs I make, but as I've said many times before, what I really enjoy is playing the horn. That's what I can do that all by myself. I don't need anyone to do that for or with. I can just sit here and play the flugel all by myself, and I do that pretty much every day. And I get a lot of pleasure out of it for some strange and crazy reason. But I like doing it, so I keep on doing it. But if I stop doing it, wouldn't make any difference to anyone else, right? So yeah, there's I don't know why I'm getting into this philosophical stage here where I'm like overanalyzing everything. Very strange indeed. I'm not entirely sure why I'm debating this philosophically, but yeah, I guess my real lack of understanding is the end game for so many of us. You know, we're in this rat race and we're trying to achieve things in life. And you know, who knows, maybe this is just me. You know, maybe other people are much more evolved than I am and they're not thinking the way that I am. But I'm perfectly accepting of the fact that I am wrong and that I'm meaningless and I am useless and I do nothing that matters to anyone. That's a reality you have to face. At least I do. You know, if I wasn't here, life would go on. My kids might be sad for a little while, but life will go on. So it's not, I don't know what I'm getting at here. It's like, because I'm talking about perpetuating, you know, eternal existence. But at what, you know, what would be the point of that? Or what is the end game of that? So if I lived forever, I would imagine that you'd reach a point where you'd just be done with it. Maybe not. I don't know. It feels like we just are on this finite timeline and that's just the way it's supposed to be. And we keep fucking with it to the point where we're going to do something crazy with it. But in reality, we have our turn and you got to make the most of what you've got here until a time comes along where somehow we control that as well. But I don't know, with the way that we've evolved and grown as a species, at least according to history, I cannot imagine that that would end well. I mean, we would, again, we have to evolve as a civilization, as a society, as a species to not want to dominate and take advantage of other people. I mean, why is it that someone that has less money than me is somehow ranked lesser than me? They might be 10 times the person that I am. But because I make more money, somehow I'm elevated in status? Yikes, that sucks. I mean, that's, I guess it's the materialism that really bothers me. And the fact that we never seem to be happy with what we have. Well, maybe that's just me again. I would guess that the people that are most happy in their lives are either those that are oblivious to it all and just have no capacity to be concerned about such things, or people that really and truly have faith and believe that what comes next is in fact something tangible and legitimate. And I'm envious of that for sure, because I don't know that that's what happens. I don't know what's next. So I feel like every fleeting moment that I waste here is, of course, something you can't ever get back. But, I mean, think of how insane that is to think about in present time, right? So like right now, literally as I'm speaking, I'm wasting my time. Think of it that way. These moments that are fleeting past right now are a complete waste of my life. Is that what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I think I'm just tired. I can't really discern any congruity from anything that I'm saying here. It's now I'm just making up stupid words to say, to sound like I know what I'm talking about. I don't know. I just feel a sense of urgency all the time. And as if whatever it is that I do isn't enough and it's not good enough and it wasn't long enough and it wasn't fast enough or it wasn't strong enough or it's just not enough. And I don't know why I have such an incessant feeling like that that's just perpetually poking at me. Like truly, the only time I really can get distracted from it is when I'm playing music. And that's probably why I try to do it as often as I do. I mean, I love doing it anyway, but I think it's the only true distraction other than sleep. But even then, a lot of times when I'm sleeping, I'm aware of what's going on in my dreams. At least that's how I feel when I wake up. I definitely wake up going, did I just do all that? That really happened? I have very vivid and realistic dreams. They're not fully played out. So like if they're sexual in nature, for example, I never reach a climax or never get to a point where it really happens, but everything else about it is seems real. So that's to me, again, why this whole concept of transcending and transfer of consciousness. I mean, we you know, arguably we already do that now. You transfer consciousness from the conscious to the unconscious every time you go to sleep. Right? So, I mean, when you're unconscious and sleeping, something is still going on in your brain. It's just different than the conscious thing that goes on in your brain. So if I'm able to experience a dream and it feels very close to real, I mean, other than it being, I guess the only way to describe it would be to be like, similar to if you're out in the fog and you can't see clearly, a little bit hazy, like my dreams feel, they're not stark vivid. They're not 4K. They're more like 480p or something like that, or 480i, whatever that first grade of high def is. It feels more like that, but it still feels as if it's happening. It feels real. I mean, I know it is in my mind because it's happening in my mind. But what I'm saying or what I'm trying to convey is that if I'm able to believe what's happening in my mind, inside of my mind, without the physical realm, why would I need a physical realm in the conscious state if I were in some kind of neural net? I don't think you would. I think you'd be able to adapt to that. I think people's brains and consciousness and egos and everything else that's in the psychological makeup of a person would be able to handle something like that. Now, I guess we'll never know until somebody actually does it. And I'm very shocked that we haven't. I mean, I guess that would be a difficult thing to try out on an animal, right? I mean, you could try the technology to say, okay, well, what we created didn't die. We didn't kill the test subject, but you wouldn't actually know if it was necessarily the same animal. Though I guess you could argue that, you know, if I took one of my dogs and we did this, tried this experiment and created a clone and then did a transfer of consciousness or a replica, you could argue that if the dog knew the same things that the other dog knew, then it worked. Right? Like if the dog knew me, if it saw me and was like, oh boy, I'm excited to see you because I know, you know, you could tell. Animals know, you know, they can express that they know someone or that they know how to do something unique or special to them. I mean, you could argue that every dog barks differently, right? I mean, it's not just the vocal cords. It's the way that they have their temperament and the way they express themselves, just like a person. So I'm not suggesting we experiment on dogs. I'm just using that as an example because I guess it would be hard to do this the first time to find a test subject. You'd have to be pretty abominable and go take someone from prison or some, you know, just involuntarily mad scientists do this kind of a thing. But it's amazing the crazy shit that people end up doing, isn't it? Kind of scary at the same time. It's like, oh, for the greater good of who? Certainly not the people you're testing on. But that would be that would be kind of an interesting thing for a coma patient, for example. Someone who's in a coma, we could transfer their consciousness out of their damaged brain and into a functional environment. and then they'd be back with us. So, I mean, there would be some biological benefits at the onset for sure. Like that example right there would be a perfect example of how to use that for, you know, to help someone in the physical terrestrial world, not just move them off and into the neural net, but, you know, bring them back. Step one, now they're back. You can communicate again. You can at least say goodbye, tell them that you love them, you know, or take that person out of the perpetual torturous state that they're in by being unconscious or conscious or whatever you are while you're in a coma. I mean, I can't imagine that if you're aware of the fact that you're in a coma, that would be anything less than a nightmare. Although we've seen people like Stephen Hawking, who lived a great majority of his life very, very productively, but from an almost inanimate body. For what, like 70 years that guy lived? And I think that disease he had came on when he was in his 20s, maybe, late 20s, early 30s. But he spent probably half of his life incapacitated completely, or close to it, something like that. So I guess the human mind or the human will or the human spirit is capable of quite a bit. It's whether or not we want to push those boundaries. And then, of course, again, you run into the religious implications of what you're doing there. And is that okay to do something like that? You know, it would be just so much easier if we could get a sign from the Almighty or the great creator, whatever is out there. That would be really, really helpful at this point in our evolutionary stage to get some kind of an inkling here, you know, throw us a bone, man. And she said, no way. I love Family Guy. That's so fun. I make such silly references. But yeah, you know, I mean, in all seriousness and all kidding aside, I think this is an interesting topic. I think I've exhausted it at this point. So no need to continue. And, I guess I've kind of abandoned my read a poem at the end of the podcast. Did anyone care about that? Did anyone like that? Let me read this one short one. It's called Different Angles. And of course, this poem is taken from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Garrett M. Conklin, published 2016 by Focal Publishing. You guys get that when I do that, I'm being completely sarcastic, right? I'm not actually trying to promote this book. I just think that it's funny to give that whole spiel before I read the passage here. Okay, so this poem is entitled Different Angles. One side, two side, three side, four. Always hoping to find one more. Biangles, triangles, nine angles square. Try to find another, do try, I dare. All sides are one, and one side is all. Isn't this fun? Then in rolls a ball, back to square one. That was kind of cute. Started with different angles and we ended with no angles. Although arguably, I guess depending on the unit of measure, you could argue that a circle or a sphere, maybe you can't argue this, but I'm going to argue this just for the sake of argument. You could argue that a ball at a small enough measurement is also angular. You just can't perceive it, right? If you get down into a microscope and you look at something that looks like a perfect sphere to you, it's got bumps and angles. You know, it's not really perfect. Just like the earth, it's not perfectly round. It just looks that way. You come down to the planet and, you know, you can see mountains and all this crap that's bumpy everywhere. There's water, all kinds of changes in the landscape. But that said, I don't know. These are going to be tougher to do at night for sure, because my brain is definitely spent for the day. If you can't get that already, if you haven't realized that, this is a nighttime. Oh, see there, take my pill. I get to go take a pill now. See, I'm so old and crusty, I got to remind myself to take pills at night. Or literally, I will forget. Anyway, with that, I hope you've had a good week so far. It's hump day, sort of, because it's technically Wednesday, but most people didn't work Monday, so. Anyway, tomorrow is Thursday, so yeehaw, right? Well, for me, it's Thursday. I don't know when I'm going to publish this episode, but This is Wednesday, September 8th. So you might get this on the 9th. I'm not sure. I'm kind of behind on where I have all these episodes and numbering and all that chronology, if you will. But on that note, let me leave you with a foreboding of goodwill and good fortune. And I hope the rest of your week goes well. And thanks for sticking around. If you like the podcast, by all means, share it with your friends, your family, your loved ones. And then they'll never talk to you again. All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye.